The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, you see the frailty and failure in our lives, our fears, our worries, our anxieties. You know our burdens, our pain, our suffering. Transform us by your grace to become the people you created us to be, and then use us by your grace to transform the world. Amen. When I was 15 years old, I began working at a little country restaurant in a neighboring town. I wore a gingham apron with a matching kerchief, and I spent evenings refilling tea glasses and visiting with dinner guests. I loved the job, and I thought I was pretty good at it. Everything changed when the manager informed me that the girl who was hired to wash dishes wanted to work out front where I was working, and that from now on, the two of us would be alternating jobs every other day. So that meant that I would be washing dishes, something I didn't even do at home, and I was appalled at the perceived injustice. And because I could not stand the thought of washing dishes for 5 hours each evening, I quit that job. Several weeks later, I began working as a nursing assistant at a skilled nursing facility a few towns away. I took the job without fully understanding the requirements. Instead of washing dishes, I would be washing people. My primary responsibility was to bathe and care for the personal needs of the patients assigned to me. God used this experience to chip away at the pride, the hypocrisy, and the arrogance in my life, to begin teaching me a lesson in humility. It's clear to me now that God did not want me washing dishes. God wanted me washing people. And God used that experience of caring for the personal needs of the sick, the infirmed, and the elderly to begin transforming me into the person God intended me to be. Today's text from Paul's letter to the church at Rome is about transformation. Paul argues that in Christ, grace becomes the structuring reality in our lives. Christ calls us to practice humility and sacrifice, to center our lives around grace. And in so doing, God transforms us so that we can use our lives to transform the world. In order to transform us into the people God is calling us to be, we are called to sacrifice. And sacrifice is not a pleasant word. Sacrifice suggests doing without, giving something up. It involves pain, loss. There is a cost. When our daughter Elizabeth was 3 months old, Mark and I made the decision that he would stay home to care for her. And at the same time, we also made the decision to begin tithing to Trinity. It was a risky decision, and it was going to be a sacrifice. Just one of us would be working, and our one salary was a pastor's salary. But we knew, without a doubt, that God was calling us to do this. We also knew that if we didn't begin this practice at this point in our lives, we might never do it. So for 19 years, we have given at least 10% of our before-tax income to the work of God at Trinity. Some months we write the check gratefully and joyfully. Some months we hesitantly ponder all the other things we need or want. But we always, always write the check. Sacrificing for the church in this way continues to give our lives meaning and order and significance. God has used this sacrifice to transform our lives, to form us into the people God intended us to be. And the strange thing is, the sacrifice of tithing is not a sacrifice. It is a great joy. The reshaping and restructuring that Christ is doing in our lives also requires humility. And humility is a real challenge. We are an arrogant, self-focused people. We want what we want when we want it. We can become so focused on our own wants, our own desires, that we become blind to the needs, opinions, and concerns of others. In our pompousness, we begin to believe that the goodness and blessing in our lives is a result of who we are, of what we've done, a testament to our own power and ability. Humility requires the dawning recognition that we are all completely reliant on the power of God at work in our lives. Every good deed, every act of kindness, every gentle word, all of it is a testament to the power of God at work in and through us. When grace becomes the structuring reality in our lives, transformation occurs, and we begin to see that all people have value and worth. We begin to recognize that God has gifted all people with unique gifts and abilities, special ways to support and build God's kingdom. We come to understand that all gifts are important in the kingdom. The gift of teaching, the gift of preaching, the gift of washing dishes, the gift of washing people, the gift of compassion, the gift of cheerfulness, the gift of tithing. All gifts are valued in the eyes of God. When grace becomes the structuring reality in our lives, we begin to see the value and worth of every human being. We see ourselves as no better or no worse than any other person. We come to understand that as God's beloved, precious children, all of us are loved, honored, valued, celebrated. God is at work, transforming our lives so that we might transform the world. Look at your own life. Consider the places where you are struggling. Think about the people who are difficult for you, the ones who have hurt you, the ones with whom you disagree, the ones who see the world so differently from you. And think about this. How can you extend grace to that person? How can you infuse a word of grace into that situation? How can you model the grace of God for the world? It is up to us, people of faith, to enable the world to see and understand the value of every human being. This includes marginalized populations, the mentally ill, immigrants, people of color, the LGBTQ community, those that are poor, hungry, or homeless, addicts, people of different faiths. God loves, honors, values, and celebrates all of humanity. Our calling is to help the world see the value in every human being and to strive for peace and justice for every human being around the globe. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by God so that grace may reign in your hearts, so that grace may reign throughout the world. Amen.